Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. By the way, I thought Brother Marvin was going to come Sunday after next. We had it set up, but he called back and something else didn't work out. So he was my first choice. But Isaiah 12, read these verses with me, just six short verses. That chapter 11 led into this. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare or proclaim his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of them. I read this a few weeks ago, and it stayed with me ever since. And you'd like to think that's a message from the Lord if you can't get it off your mind. And I couldn't, so I'm glad. But you notice in verse 1, he says, in that day. Verse 4, in that day. And you read with Gabe in chapter 11, verse 10, in that day. And over it says this in the Scripture, especially in the book of Isaiah. But I began to count, and I quit counting after 50 times in the book of Isaiah alone and throughout the Scripture, in that day. And what it's speaking of are three time periods. Day, meaning a time. As we would say, an old fellow would say, back in my day, meaning my era or my time. And three time periods spoken of in the Scripture. In look back at chapter 11, verse 10. He speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse. He called him in verse 1 the rod of the stem of Jesse. And he talks about his rest. He talks about him being an ensign. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever since the Lord Jesus Christ came, that day when he came, that time, it's been the last days. We've been in the very last days. And then there's the Lord's second coming, the day of our Lord's return. And Scripture says things like this. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, God's people, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that's the day when the Lord comes back for his people, which is a wonderful day. And Peter said we're greatly looking forward to that day. And then there's the day when the Lord reveals himself to you. And that's the day that he's speaking of in chapter 12. In that day, he said, you will say, praise the Lord. In that day, there's a day when the Lord reveals himself to each one of his people. There comes a time when the Lord reveals himself to each one of his people. It's called the day of salvation. in 2 Corinthians, he says, it's a time accepted. It's the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And there was a day, there was a time when everyone in here who has heard the gospel, there was a time, there was a day when the Lord revealed himself to you. And you said, praise the Lord. And all that he says here in these verses, a time, a day when you first heard his voice. He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. Now, it's not an actual day, per se, that you can trace this back to. Very few people can do that. Very few people can trace their, when the Lord revealed himself to them, back to an actual day. Some may be able to. But for most, it's a period of time when the Lord began, like the blind man in John 9, to open your eye. Until finally, one day, you did meet the Lord. And there's a time, though, when he does finally open your eyes and your ears. He opens your ears to hear his voice. He opens your eyes. The Lord said, this is the Father's will, that everyone that seeth the Son. There's a time when you finally see the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And you see your need of him. And there was a time. And it's not an isolated event, like I said. And it's not a day, an experience per se. There's a lot of people who go through religious experiences, which are just that, emotional experiences. I had one as a young boy, about 12 years old, and I made a profession of faith. I remember distinctly being disturbed by something and went down the aisle and I made a profession. And well, it didn't last. And what the Lord does will last. What the Lord does shall be forever, Scripture said. So this is not an experience. It's not something that you look back to and say, I can remember and I'm saved because of that day. No. But there is a day when the Spirit of God, through his Word, reveals to you the Son of God. And there's a confrontation. A confrontation, like, and there's so many illustrations in the Scripture. Like Jacob, one of my favorite. There was a day when the Lord finally laid hold of Jacob and wrestled with him. And that day, Jacob had his name changed. Had his name changed. He realized who the Lord was. And that day, Jacob's walk was changed from then on. And, you know, you can't walk with pride when you're walking with a limp. He was humbled and he met the Lord. There was a day when Moses met the Lord, didn't he? He was on the backside of a desert and he went up on that mountain. He said, I think I'll see that sight. And he went up there and he saw the Lord in that burning bush. And he was never the same, was he? Never the same. It was a day when Simon, Andrew, James, John, all of those fishermen, rough longshoremen, when the Lord Jesus Christ came by where they were and said, follow me. And they did. And nothing was the same. Matthew, publican, tax collector, money was his life. It was a day when the Lord came where he was and he was never the same. The woman at the well, it was a day. She was religious and living in sin. But God came where she was and met her and revealed himself to her. And on I could go with illustrations like that. And so it was with you. And in that day, verse 1, it says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. There's conviction of sin first. This is what happened. And this is what I look for as a preacher. I'm waiting to see the Lord move in the hearts and lives of people that I preach to. And when that happens, what you'll see is conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. Oh, Lord, Isaiah said, you will say, oh, Lord, I will praise Thee. You were angry with me. There's a time when we believe the Lord is angry with us. Fear of the Lord is beginning with it. We say that all the time, but it is. And there was a time when you felt like the Lord was angry with you. And you were cut off. Remember Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, what did he say? I'm undone. Woe is me. Before that, he was saying, woe is you. Woe is you. And there comes a time when we're convicted of our sin. Conviction comes before comfort. Guilt comes before comfort. There was a time. I'll tell you my testimony. As a young man, I believed the truth. I was raised on the truth. I was raised under the gospel. And I believed the doctrine. In my head. And I could argue it. And I did. But I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. And there has to come a time when that doctrine becomes an experience in your heart. Like the doctrine, tulip begins with what? Total depravity. There comes a time when you not only believe that man is totally depraved, when you believe you're totally depraved. There comes a time when, like unconditional election, you not only believe that God elected the people, you hope He elected you. And that's your hope. There comes a time when you believe that Christ died for His people and saved His people. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us. And you hope He did that for you. And irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. So there comes a time when you're confronted with that. And I distinctly remember a time, a day, when the Lord began to break my heart over what it was. And, it's not a one-time thing. It continues to break it. And I remember distinctly feeling like I need saving. I need saving. Though Thou wast angry with me. Now, I got news for you. You know that God has never been angry with His people? In Ephesians 2, where it says we were all children of wrath, even as others, that's not talking about the wrath of God. That's talking about us being mad at God. Our wrath. See, Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God loved His people while they were yet sinners. They were always under the blood. But He's going to make you feel like it. He's going to make you feel like He's angry with you. Thou wast angry with me, and your anger was turned away, He said. And you comforted me. How? How do you find out that His anger is turned away? That God, who is angry with the wicked every day, yet is not angry with you. How do you find... What turned His anger? Huh? How do you have peace with God? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that God poured out His wrath. You find that out, that God poured out His wrath on His Son. That God's anger was dispensed on His Son, on Christ. And then you got comfort. Thou comfortest me. Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I used to believe God is sovereign. Still do. I used to believe He's sovereign. The salvation's of the Lord. And one day I felt like He's my God. My God. Salvation comes when the Lord comes to you and makes you say, God is my salvation, my Savior. Verse 2, He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, there was a time when I was afraid to trust the Lord. I almost thought it was presumption. There are still times that I feel that way. Anybody? You feel so sinful and so unworthy. And when he says, believe, and you just think, I've sinned away the day of grace or something like that. It's not presumption. It's not presumption to trust the Lord. It's permission. He tells us to. It's not presumption. It's a promise. He said, believe. Believe, and thou shalt not perish. Believe. I love these verses. None that trust in Him shall be destined. That's about all I can do, you know. Trust in Him. I will trust and not be afraid. Fear the Lord, but don't be afraid to trust Him. For the Lord Jehovah, he said, verse 2, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Jehovah, my strength and my song. I'll never forget when I first heard someone preach on the names of the Lord. Those seven names, and there are more. There are more names of Jehovah, but do you remember that? When you first heard those names, like Jehovah Jireh? Genesis 22. Do you remember that? I'll never forget when I first heard someone preach on Genesis 22, where Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain and would have sacrificed him, but God said, hold your hand. And there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. He said, lay hold of that and kill that ram in the stead of your son. And when Abraham was walking up that mountain with his son Isaac, remember what Isaac asked him? Father, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And what did Abraham say? In faith, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provide. Jehovah Jireh. I'll never forget that. Jehovah said, Kenneth, I'll never forget when I first heard that name. Over in Jeremiah 23, this is the name that he shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. I'll never forget when your husband first heard that. I read, the Lord our righteousness. Oh my. And that's our name. He said that too over in another chapter in Isaiah. Then this is her name. She's going to be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. Like when a woman marries a man, and that man assumes all responsibility for her. She takes his name. And he, all the debt that she has incurred, he pays it. Or supposed to. Well, the Lord did. The Lord did assume all the debt, all to him I owe, and he paid it all. And all that he accumulates is hers, and we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, Tsidkenu, is my strength, he said, and my song, my strength. He does it all for me. He does it all for me. That's good news. And that day I will say, praise thee. You do it all. Thankfully, salvation is truly of the Lord. That he will perform all the works for me. My wife is constantly calling on me to do heavy lifting for her, to do things for her. And I don't mind one bit. She needs me. She needs my muscles, if you will, although they're rapidly diminishing. But she needs me. And I do not mind. I consider it an honor to do that for her. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, cast your burden on the Lord. He's our strength. Cast your burden on the Lord. He's our strength. And the Scripture said, I love this, He'll carry us all the day. From the cradle to your hoary head, He said, I'll carry you. He doesn't put us down for a moment. We took the girls out to the dairy farm the other day to get some milk. And Mindy was holding his Sophie. And she's... They grow up so fast, you know. She's getting bigger. And Mindy said, you carry her for a while. I said, okay, I don't mind. And I carried her the whole time we were out there for half. And she was getting heavy. But she wasn't heavy. She's my granddaughter. I love her. And the Lord said, cast your care upon me. He careth for you. The Lord is my strength. And He's my song. Look at that. The Lord is my song. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is my song. What are our songs of? What do we sing? Songs of Zion are what? They're of Zion's Redeemer. That's who we sing about. The Lord Jesus Christ. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me on the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing. The Lord has become my song. My song. I do remember this, as a young person, hearing others sing these songs, and I was instructed as a child to sing this song, as you do your children, which they should. They should be taught to sing. Hopefully someday they won't have to be told. Well, there comes a day. In that day, other people's songs become your songs. And they don't tell you to sing. You can't wait to sing. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me on the cruel cross He suffered and from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. There comes a day. In that day, those songs become your songs. And I'm ashamed to admit this, but I remember reaching a time when I was a teenager when I almost didn't want to hear those songs anymore. Thank God. Thank God He made those songs my song. My song. Huh. That song is my song. He's become my song. He's become my salvation. Now look at verse 3. Therefore, and this is really the verse that caught my attention. And I almost was going to devote the whole message to this one verse. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Drawing water with joy out of the wells of salvation. In that day, you're going to say, the Lord's my salvation. I'll praise the Lord. He was angry with me, but He's turned His anger from me. And He's my salvation. I trust Him. I'm not afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's my salvation. And so with joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now what's He talking about? Well, He's already said God is our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. He said this. He said to the woman at the well. He said, the water of this well leave you thirsty. But the water I give unto you, that shall be a wellspring springing up. Life. God becomes the source of our joy. Christ becomes our salvation, the water of life. Now, like Isaac, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Isaac did for a living? You remember what his occupation was? He's a well digger. He dug wells everywhere he went. And like Isaac, our Lord has dug many wells for us to draw from. He said, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well. Sources to draw this water of life, to draw joy from Christ Himself. Okay? What are these wells of salvation? Well, number one, His Word. Gabe, thank the Lord for His Word. We do every time we meet, don't we? His Word. Number one, His Word preached. Where would we be without this? I'm not sure that most of us know, because we're so used to it. Aren't we? We're so used to it that we take it for granted. And perhaps if we had to go without it, like you were saying, we might appreciate it more. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not only to save His people one time in that day, but the rest of their lives. We're saved. We're kept by the power of God. That's the preaching of His Word. It's an unending source of water. How I rejoice and draw joy out of preaching. Not my own, but others. I thought of the disciples that went out by twos and preaching everywhere. They went out by twos. Well, while one of them was preaching, the other one was sitting. He's getting preached to. And he'd sit down, he'd stand up, and he'd get preached to. They needed preaching, preaching the Word, preaching Christ. And how I rejoice in hearing the preaching. I need it. I utilize it all the time. I listen to preaching. I have to hear the gospel. The times when I'm so downcast and I go to the well of preaching the Word and I get joy from it. One thing made me ask Brother Clay as I just listened to a message by him. Well, I've listened to several over the last several months and other men and was so greatly blessed and thankful what the Lord has done through him, and he blessed me. He blessed me. So I thought, we'll have him down here. Have him down here. And I tell you all the time that we need to utilize these means because it's for your joy. It's for your salvation. The reading of the Word. The reading of the Word. Now, I often read out of duty, just like you. I often get up in the mornings and I know I need to read the Word and I read it that way. I read it out of duty and I don't get a thing out of it. Do you? Anybody? Anybody doesn't say that. Everybody does. But there are times when I need it. And I read it and the Lord blesses me. The Lord speaks to me. I draw comfort from this. You're talking about a deep well. A wellspring of comfort. If you need it, you'll find it. If you dig. It says you'll draw. You have to go to the well and draw it. Nobody can do it for you. But he says you go and you'll draw joy from it. The reading of the Word. The promises of God are wells of salvation. The promises of God. This book is full of warnings, yes, lest we presume. Warnings to the unbeliever. Warnings to the world. Dire warnings to this world. But it's mostly full of promises to God's people. Promises of salvation. The Word says, all the promises of God are in Christ and are yea and amen. Meaning, you can count on promises such as these. And I draw from the same sources over and over again. I draw comfort and joy from the same verses over and over again, such as this. Psalm 130, verse 8. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? But. I love the buts in the Scripture, don't you? But there is forgiveness with thee. Oh my. Verses like this. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and them that hope in His mercy. Taketh pleasure. That's about all I can do is hope in His mercy. And I do fear Him. Verses like this. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Verses like this. This is a faithful saying. How often do you go back to that verse? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chief. Even the chief. Verses like this. The Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. But have you ever gone to the well and you thought it ran dry? Like David. David said things like this. Is his mercy clean gone? You've gone to the well, you've been needy, and you couldn't get a thing from it. Huh? He felt like God was hiding His face from him. And the well had run dry. The well of His mercy. Is His mercy clean gone? David said, when the heavens are brass, you try to pray. And anybody? Everybody. I remember when we had a well out on the farm. And when they dug that well, we had to go 300 feet, Stephen. You did the same thing. You had to dig a couple of wells, didn't you? And, buddy, when they hit water, it was a glad day, wasn't it? A glad day. When they hit water, I was so happy, and it was a gusher, 75 gallons a minute, something like that. And that's a real well in it. And it was good water. Not only do you want water, but there's no promise it'd be good water, is it? But it was good water, wonderful, and I was so happy about that. Well, I took it for granted. I took it for granted. Just turn it on. City people, they think water comes out of a spigot. You just turn it on, it's there, and it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Now, if you have a well, have you ever let your well run? Has your well ever run dry? Well, this happened to me several times. But the first time, I was watering the horses. And I turned that spigot on, you know, and to fill up that 100-gallon tank, and went off and did something and forgot about it. For hours. I went in the house, turned the spigot on, no water. My heart sank. I remembered. I forgot to turn it. I went running out there, you know, shut it off. And then I went running down in the basement where my well is, and that gauge was on zero. And I sat on the floor. And I'd never had a well before. I thought, it's gone. Forever. I did. We'll never have any more water anymore. I've run it dry. And I sat on that floor and I literally prayed, Lord, please, don't let the well be dry. And I sat there and sat there. And in a minute, you don't know happiness except when you go to this well. And you think it's dry. And you think His mercies are gone. Oh Lord, please. Please. There's hope. There's hope. And you know, I did it again. I did it two or three more times. Let the well run dry. And it kept. And I found out later from a well man that most wells are not pools of water, but rivers. But you can't run them dry. I was glad to know that. Because of my foolishness, I thought I ran the well dry. You can't run the well of God's mercy dry. Isn't that good news? Huh? You'll draw with joy. If you've ever been dry, you'll rejoice to find that water again. Wells. The wells of God's attributes. I was going to deal with God's attributes, Dad. I was going to take each one of His attributes, which is a deep wellspring of joy to draw from. Each one of God's attributes, like Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you change, you're up, you're down. I'm not. Always up. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The immutability that our God does not change. That is a well you can draw joy from. God is not going to change. When He calls you, His gifts and His callings are without repentance. Once in grace, always in grace. You can quote me on that. Quote the Lord on that. He said, I will have mercy, and His mercy endureth forever. His love... The love of God is a wellspring, a deep well. Greater love hath none than this. His love is everlasting, and it's greater than anybody. We love some people, don't we? After having my first child, I thought, this is love. This is love. Then had grandchildren, I thought, no, this is love. But no, our Lord said, His love is far greater. Far greater. And I can't conceive of that. But it's a well to draw joy from. His mercy, His grace. The God of all grace. We're going to need grace. We need grace. By grace are you saved, not only spiritually, but materially and physically. Grace means gift. His grace is bountiful. It's sufficient. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. His grace is super abounding. It's a well you can't run dry. You need it all your life, and it's there. God's grace. You go back to the barrel and stick your hand in it. He said, just promise grace for the day. But you go back to the barrel and you'll find that grace every time. You go back to the cruise of oil and you'll find it just enough. Just enough. A well. And in that day you'll say, verse 4, in that day you'll say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of people use that term, don't they? Hallelujah. Oh my. God's people say it from the heart. They really do. They're not praising the Lord from their lips, but from their heart. Now call upon His name. Call upon His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And you call and you call and you call, don't you, for the rest of your day. Yes, you do. Declare His doings among the people. His doings. Many of you were in religion at one time, didn't you? You probably talked about your doings. What you did for the Lord. But there was a day when you found out what He did for you. And that's whose doings you... This is the Lord's doings. And it's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord's doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Oh my. His name is exalted. Go on. And I quit. Sing unto the Lord. I love after Isaiah 53. You know, it talks about the wonderful work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 54 begins, sing. After hearing about that work of our Lord on Calvary's tree for His people, by His knowledge shall His righteous servant justify many. He says, sing. Sing unto the Lord. For He hath done excellent things, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. It's known in all the earth, every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue are singing. And that's what they'll do in heaven. That's what we'll do in heaven. A people which no man can number is singing that song. Cry out. Look at it. Verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. What do you reckon the children of Israel were doing when they walked out of Egypt that day? After being in bondage for 400 years, in the slime pits, what do you reckon they were doing as they walked out that day? Crying and shouting like in Israel, you know, the noise was heard. Some were crying, some were laughing and shouting, and they couldn't distinguish the difference. Cry out and shout. What do you think they did when they walked across that Red Sea on dry land and then looked back and saw their enemies destroyed that were chasing them? What do you think they were doing? Crying and shouting. What do you think they did when they walked into that land of milk and honey? After wandering through that wilderness all those years and saw the grapes of Eshcol and milk and honey. What do you think Israel did when they saw David standing out there with Goliath's head in his hands? Their enemy. And when we see what the Lord has done on Calvary's tree and taking our captor captive, cry out and shout. Great is the Holy One of Israel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says He's in the midst of thee. Oh, God is in the midst of her. In the midst of His people. In that day, thou shalt say, you were angry with me, but your anger is turned away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Stand with me.